141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The PFA Manager of the Year shortlist has been revealed. Derek McInnes, John McGlynn and Stenhouse Muir's Gary Naismith are the three chosen, but there's no place for Jens Bertel Askew or either Old Firm manager. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are David Friel and Cammy Bell.
How we doing, Andrew? You okay?
Aye, not bad at all. Nomination time. It's been that all week. We've seen the nominations rolling in. Time for the managers this time round. Anything interesting in there for you?
Yeah, certainly is. A number of interesting ones. Listen, they all deserve to be there, the ones that I've made that shortlist. But certainly Jens Bertel Askew is one that I expected to be in that list. I think he's had a tremendous season. The way he's turned around Motherwell, the way he's got them playing football as well, points to him being in the mix for it, but he's not, so it's a little bit of a surprise for me.
I was expecting the calm before the storm of the weekend fixtures tonight, Andrew, and then the managerial shortlist came out, and I'm told, my sources tell me, there's some people in ML1 with some leanings towards Motherwell not too happy with the shortlist.
I tell you what, there's normally someone sitting in this very seat that's maybe off in protest. We don't know. Maybe that's the reason, but maybe you at home have some thoughts on it, because sometimes it's about the people that make the shortlist. Sometimes it's about the people that are left out of the shortlist. So who do you think should have been nominated for PFA Manager of the Year? Are you happy with the choices? Who do you think should win out of the three that are nominated? And is there anyone you feel is missing out? 01419511025. We've also seen the player nominees this week, so maybe that's something you're still interested in, still want to debate. 01419511025. And as David mentioned, the title race, we are in the midst of it. There are huge games this weekend. Maybe you've got some thoughts left over from the weekend. Maybe you've got some early thoughts ahead of this weekend with some very good fixtures in there. 01419511025 on the phones. And what I like as well is there's always debate about it, and people will have their own thoughts. These are the thoughts of the managers. It's their fellow peers that are voting for these.
Yeah, exactly. And we're having a conversation in the Scottish Sun office just earlier on, and Roger Hanna, who's also of this parish, was saying that some managers over the years have accused the both of us of talking nonsense. But I think if you look at that shortlist, there'll be some supporters out there asking some questions of the managers.
Yeah, again, another one, Simo Vallecari, who's had an excellent season. We all know how difficult that championship is, so I was a little bit surprised maybe not to see his name in there. But you're right, listen, the guys that are in there, they've all had excellent seasons. Gary Naismith with Stenhouse Muir, they've had a fantastic season so far, and John McGlynn, we speak about how good Falkirk have been this season, and clearly Derek McInnes is flying high at this moment in time with Hearts.
01419511025, whatever is on your mind. Maybe it is that managerial shortlist for PFA Manager of the Year. If it's anything else, title race, the game's coming up this weekend. 01419511025. Shall we go through the three that have been nominated first of all, just to take a look at the credentials, see exactly why their peers have voted for them? Derek McInnes, the most straightforward out of the three, you'd say.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people can talk about Jamestown analytics and everything, but the manager has to make the best of the squad he's got. I think it's easy to forget Hearts were bottom six last season. They were nowhere, and although they have signed some really good players, some influential players like Claudio Braga, guys like that, I think Derek has also got the best out of the players he inherited. You look at how much Craig Halkett's progressed, Cammy Devlin, Lauren Shankland, guys like that, even Blair Spittle scoring the winner at the weekend. I think he's done a phenomenal job. It made sense at the time to give him the job. I don't think anyone would have imagined he could go and mount the title challenge that he has. But yeah, he definitely deserves, regardless of what happens in the next couple of weeks, he deserves to be in the top three.
Because that is an important caveat, that these are voted for a few weeks before the end of the season. So we don't know what Derek McInnes is going to go on and achieve this season. It may be another team that wins the league. But as David says, Hearts have done so well this season. They've been top of the league for most of this season. Even if Hearts were to be pipped at the end, the job that Derek McInnes has done at Hearts, it's still phenomenal, really.
Yeah, phenomenal. Again, you're measuring it on where he is just now. As you say, the votes have been done before the season ends. He's only lost five games in the league this season. That's incredible for Hearts. It tells the story of a brilliant season so far. Listen, anything can happen in the final games going into it, but there's no getting away from it. I think David makes a great point that the players that are already there, he's made them better. He's made them better within the team. He's also been able to bring in the new players who have came in and make sure that they get what the club's all about, get the way that he wants to play, and he's winning games of football. So he's had an absolutely outstanding season.
Because people will talk about the fact that Celtic aren't the best version of Celtic this season. Rangers haven't been the best version of Rangers this season. They both had those spells, Russell Martin, Wilfred Nancy, we all know the story. But for Hearts to overcome the financial barrier that there is, the gap between themselves and Celtic and Rangers, so much more just than getting the right players in. It's about how you handle it as a manager tactically, but also there's the mental side of things as well. There's so much that needs to be done to make sure that that gap can be bridged.
Yeah, 100%. But you just need to look at the stats. As Cammy said, they've only lost 5 games all season. They're unbeaten at home. And I think as things stand, they're on course to maybe hit 80 points, over 80 points. And I think you also need to remember that as well as we speak about the Jamestown signings and all that sort of stuff, Hearts have lost some key players at key points. You know, I'll be honest, when they lost Lorne Shankland and Cammy Devlin, I kind of feared the worst for Hearts. I thought at that stage they would probably tail off really, really badly, but they're still in it. 4 games to go, they're leading, they're top of the league, they've got a kind of a little cushion there as well. So I don't think you can underestimate the job done by the manager. I think it's been outstanding.
Especially the way that, and we've heard it all season from loads of different people, Hearts will fall away at some point. Mm-hmm. People just keep on saying that, and 4 games to go until the end of the season and Hearts are still there.
Yeah, pressure will get to them, That's all we've heard, certainly for the last 2 or 3 months. They'll eventually drop off, and they haven't. And listen, that it's difficult when people put a doubt in your mind, and again, you hear it and players will say, listen, we don't read the newspapers or we don't look online, but they do. Listen, they'll hear it, they'll hear the noise, but again, that's the measure of Derek McInnes as a manager. He's blocked out all this outside noise. When they have had disappointing results, which they've had, they've managed to bounce back very, very quickly. And that just shows you where they are. They're performing as champions. That's the way they are going along this season. They're performing as champions. When you get a knockback, you need to bounce back very, very quickly. And they've done that. And they fully deserve to be sitting at the top of the tree. And as I say, for me, Derek McInnes absolutely deserves to be in that pool of Manager of the Year contenders.
This is where the timing comes into it, though, because if it gets to the end of the season and Celtic win the title, there'll be people out there going, how is Martin O'Neill not the Manager of the Year? If it gets to the end of the season and Rangers win the title, there'll be people out there going, how is Danny Rule not Manager of the Year?
Yeah, and it just comes back to timing, and that's the unfortunate thing. Look, I understand why dinner, for example, the PFA dinner has been held this week. For 3 of the 4 leagues, it finishes, you know, this weekend, and players go on holiday, and I think the timing can't really be helped. But yeah, there's always that risk that down the line, a couple of weeks on, the winner looks a bit odd. But I think, as I said right at the start, I think no matter what happens with Hearts, I think Derek McInnes deserves to be there.
01419511025. Any thoughts on that? Whether it is Derek McInnes, John McGlynn, Gary Naismith, whether it's a candidate that you feel missed out on the shortlist. We want to hear your thoughts. 01419511025. Very interested to hear from you Motherwell fans, because I've seen a lot on social media today, a lot of Motherwell fans saying that Jens Bertolaskou should be in for consideration. So why don't you come on and plead the case? 01419511025. We'll move on to John McGlynn on the shortlist, because if you are a promoted manager in any league, you've brought the team up. We saw John McGlynn do it last year. Promotion, won the championship, then goes into the Premiership. To finish top 6 is some achievement.
Yeah, incredible. Incredible for John McGlynn. And again, you've got to touch on the style of play as well. You look at the way that he plays his football, excellent brand of football that he's got on the pitch, but also a lot of players that have went up through the leagues, from League One to Championship into the top flight, that he's kept, and he's made them being able to handle the levels going up the leagues as well. So I think there's a huge amount of credit to go to John McGlynn. He's done a fantastic job. He'll still be pushing right towards the end of the season. He'll be wanting to try and catch Hibs. It's going to be a tall order, but certainly one that he'll be looking forward to trying to grasp that fifth place in the league. But yeah, he's had a brilliant, brilliant season, and he'll be absolutely delighted.
I think one of the things that people look for are teams just generally overachieving. What did people expect that Falkirk would be doing in this season, and then what have they actually done? And I think there were maybe a lot of people out there that thought Falkirk would be struggling at the bottom of the table, whether it would be bottom, whether it would be trying to fight to get out of that 11th spot, purely because, as Cammy said, having so many players that have been in League One, have been in the Championship, people maybe questioning whether they had the required quality to make an impact in the Premiership. Yes, a lot of that goes on the players and how well they've done, but they need a manager to steer that as well.
Yeah, and they need a manager who is ambitious and can set targets and believe in these players to go and do it. To go back to the start of the season, I think a lot of people felt Falkirk would go straight back down. I think a lot of people felt Falkirk, as nice a footballing team as they have been for the last few years, wouldn't be equipped to handle the Premiership. And they have proved everybody wrong. They have got to the top six with ease. They have done it in a real style. As Cammy said, John McGlynn is taking guys like Liam Henderson, Leon McCann, Brad Spencer, Dylan Tate. You look at the Barney Stewart success story, Calvin Miller. He has revived careers, he's made players better, but he's also used the loan market pretty well. You know, he's gone and got guys like Philip Lisa, been absolutely outstanding. He has got Ben Brosio, Ben Parkinson, guys like that, Kyrell Wilson, all the rest, who have all contributed. He's also got a guy like Scott Bain,
yep,
in terms of goalkeeper, to just calm things at the back. And I just think, as a body of work over the last 4 years for John McGlynn, what he walked into at Falkirk compared to now is unrecognisable. The only nagging thing about Falkirk's season will be that Scottish Cup semi-final. We were both there that day, Andrew, and it just wasn't Falkirk that turned up. They started hoofing the ball, and John McGlynn, in his own words here after the game, they were rubbish. And that is the only thing over the course of the season that he'll maybe regret, and his players will maybe regret. But overall, it's just been an outstanding job by him.
That's another point. Dunfermline win the Scottish Cup. Yeah. Neil Lennon will be wondering why he's not in the shot.
And he's in the playoffs yeah, as well. Yeah, yeah. So, listen, there's a lot of cases out there. You mentioned Neil Lennon, Scott Kelleher at Inverness, who's had an outstanding season. They've been deducted 5 points as well. So, listen, there's a few candidates out there that probably will be looking and wondering what happened.
I wonder about Falkirk as well, because the style of play that they played in the Championship was very attractive. They got a lot of praise for that. And you maybe heard people at the start of the season saying, that's not going to work with these players in the Premiership. They're going to be coming up against better opposition. They're not going to be able to play through teams in the way that they did in the Championship. Is that a credit to John McGlynn that he stuck to his principles? And as David said, you know, he's maybe brought in some more experienced heads, and he's brought in players that maybe of a higher quality in the loan market that have managed to help things, but been able to do that and make that step up and keep that style of play and stay true to his principles is also another feather in his cap.
Absolutely. Again, it's the belief that he has, but again, it's transferring the belief that you have in your team to over to the players to be able to go and do that against your Celtic, your Rangers, your Hearts, all your best teams in the league. When there's high pressure on that, you're playing out from the back, you're passing through the thirds in the pitch, there's a lot of pressure doing that because you're wide open, you're exposed if you lose the ball, so you've got to trust your players on the pitch. Listen, they put a lot of work in it. They work Monday to Friday on their game, the way they want to play, and the players have absolutely delivered, because I think that the difference between the Championship and the Premiership, the way that Falkirk have played, is probably the intensity that had to lift it. They had to lift their intensity of play, the way they move the ball. It's got to be fast, it's got to be slick, it's got to be precise, because if you lose the ball, the better teams are going to hurt you. So they've been excellent this season, very, very brave in the way they've played, and they're a joy to watch as well.
01419511025 on the phones. I wonder if you agree or disagree with this. We've had a tweet in from Claire McDonough who says, Jens Bertolascu has done just as good as Derek McInnes, John McGlynn and Gary Naismith put together. And I think it's an insult to Motherwell that our gaffer did not get nominated instead of McGlynn.
I don't know if an insult is too strong, Andrew, but I must admit, when I saw the shortlist come through this afternoon, I was amazed that Jens Bertolascu was not on it. He has done a phenomenal job. They have played a brand of football that has, I think, captured the imagination everywhere. And I was at Ibrox on Sunday to watch them put on a masterclass for parts of that first half. The best performance I think I've still seen from a team all season was Motherwell against Celtic at Fir Park in the Wilfred Nancy Reign. They were so good that night. And yeah, I think he can feel very aggrieved, and I know there are people who feel very aggrieved that he's not on that shortlist, because I think he deserves to be.
Because Motherwell have, as we mentioned earlier on, they have overachieved on where people thought they would this season, but have also just done it in a way that they've received so much praise for their style of football. They've done so well against the big teams. People will point out to you, they've got 5 players in the team of the year.
Yep.
But no manager.
Yeah,
no manager,
yeah, it's strange for me. And again, you break it down, you look at all the elements that the manager has to bring in. Recruitment, I think his recruitment's been excellent. I know that's not just on the manager, there'll be a recruitment department that brings in, but he plays a huge part in the players that he wants. And again, the players that are already there, your Paul McGinn's, your Stephen O'Donnell's, they're different players now. They're absolutely different players from last season. So that for me is a measure of how good a manager is. He's changed the way that them guys play, the way that them guys believe they can play, and they've been outstanding this season. But I just think the way he's brought the whole team together, the style of football that he plays, again, talking about being brave, he's brave at every single stadium he goes to, whether it's a home stadium or away stadium, plays the same brand of football, but it's excellent as well, and with a conviction. So yeah, listen, I'm amazed that he's not in the shortlist, to be honest.
01419511025 on the phones. Let's speak to John, who's a Rangers fan in Paisley. John, are you happy enough with that shortlist? Is there anyone missing from it in your eyes?
Well, they're all blind then. They're all blind because the boy from Millwall is the best team in Scotland. Past every team after Scotland this season. Hearts played them the other week there, and Derek McInnes said, "Do you think we were lucky today?" Aye, you were lucky today, because Millwall should have been two or three up before. They played us after Parton Saturday.
Is that what you've been impressed by, John? Not just the results that they've had, but when you've seen Motherwell come up against Rangers, the way that they've dominated the ball at times, has that been a standout?
Oh, see the number 12 and the number 20. See, if I was playing against them, I was young enough, I would have been on their two, like nobody's business, and on their heels. And the boy was throwing about with the ball with number 20 as if he was, it was outstanding. They found pockets and holes where we just couldn't cope with it. And even though we get back to two each, and by the way, the guy was talking there about Phil O'Donnell. I tell you what, I don't know whether he's injured there this year, but something's happened to him.
Stephen O'Donnell.
Far fatter than anybody, and they play the same style of football. They're no mugs. You know what I mean? So I'm totally shocked. Everybody keeps promoting John McGinn. Nah, he's a well off the mark. Seriously.
I mean, John McGlynn has had a very good season in his own right, but you can see from a supporter's perspective, people will give Falkirk praise, and rightly so. But when you look at Motherwell as well, and John's seeing things that Motherwell teams have never really done against his Rangers side before.
Yeah, and I think we live in a football country that very rarely agrees in anything, but I think fans of all clubs would agree that Motherwell are the best footballing team in the country, and that is quite a statement, you know, and I don't mean that disparagingly towards Motherwell. I just mean in terms of budget, in terms of Jens Bertelascu inheriting guys. John talks about Stephen O'Donnell, Paul McGinn. I mean, the first 5 minutes at Ibrox, Paul McGinn's doing cross turns in his own box. Stephen O'Donnell is playing like a throwback to Roberto Carlos or whatever you want to call him. I mean, he's a right back playing left back, and he got two assists. He was so influential. What Jens Bertelascu has asked Motherwell players that he inherited and the ones he brought in, like Elijah Just, is to come completely out of their comfort zone, to play a certain way, a certain brand of football. John talks about the midfielders. Elliot Watt, outstanding. Fadinga, outstanding. Callum Slattery, Elijah Just. They have played a brand of football that has entertained everybody. And I think that's why everybody, probably again United, is surprised that the managers, and it is the fellow managers that vote for this shortlist, have not put Askew on it.
When David's talking about players that are maybe doing things now that people, with all due respect, maybe didn't think they were capable of at one point in their career, Paul McGinn and Stephen O'Donnell playing in a certain way and playing with such confidence and doing it at such a high level, how can a manager do that? How is it about confidence? Is it about instilling belief in the players? Is it about the information that they're giving across?
A bit of all. I played with Stephen at Kilmarnock, and he's a great lad and a fantastic footballer as well. But listen, when I watch him this season compared to when he was at Kilmarnock, and he was a lot younger at Kilmarnock, he's a completely different player. He looks as if, John mentioned it, he looks as if he's got a new lease of life. But again, it's down to confidence, it's down to information, it's down to practice. As I mentioned before, day in, day out, these guys are practicing the way they want to play. They'll work on it, they'll work on playing through the forge. You even watch Motherwell's warm-up for me is different, because they play passages of play in the warm-up just to get used to the way they want to play in the game, get that intensity, get that ball moving, get a visual of what you can do on the pitch. And yes, I look at Stephen O'Donnell, I think he was outstanding at the weekend, absolutely brilliant. And he's definitely a different player this season, and that's down to the manager for me.
Well, thank you to John on the line. We've got another tweet in from Bob JC, who says, I think it's shocking that the Motherwell manager got snubbed. He says he's a Rangers fan, but what Askew has done has been nothing short of brilliant. Shocking he never got on that shortlist. 0141 951 1025, whether you want to talk about the men on the shortlist, Dennett McInnes, John McGlynn or Gary Naismith, maybe you want to talk about someone that's not on the shortlist, or anything else that's on your mind. 0141 951 1025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel and Cammy Bell here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but we want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. We've been looking at the shortlist for PFA Manager of the Year. Dennett McInnes, John McGlynn and Gary Naismith are all on it. Jens Bertelascu isn't. A lot of chat on social media, a bit on the phones about that. I wonder if there's anyone else missing that you think should be on it. 0141 951 1025. Of course, some massive games coming up this weekend, so if the title race is the only thing on your mind, I do not blame you. Or maybe things at the bottom have piqued your interest. Get your calls in right now. 0141 951 1025. We went through Dennett McInnes and John McGlynn. What about Gary Naismith? Because it's a very interesting one, especially when any lower league manager gets nominated. Gary Naismith has Stenhouse Muir sitting in second in League One at the moment. They could win the league this weekend. They're 2 points behind Inverness with one game to go. Was that a surprise to you that he made the shortlist?
I don't want to patronise Gary Naismith here, but I feel really sorry for him today because I think we are talking about guys who should be on the shortlist, and I think by even doing that, everybody's looking and asking, why is Gary Naismith on it? I think he's done a very good job at Stenhouse Muir. He got them up out of League Two. I think they were in the playoffs last year. He has them challenging Inverness for the league this year. He's a guy who played at a very high level, played for Scotland many times. I think he's a good coach, yeah. Cammy, I do. Yep. I think he's well respected in the game, and he has done a very good job at Stenhouse Muir and really revived them and almost got them to the championship, and they might still get there. But I understand why people are saying, well, why is he there and Jens Bertelascu isn't? But I don't think that should take away from his achievements.
For me, definitely not. Because, again, if you... Stenhouse Muir could get to the championship, yeah. So that would be an incredible achievement for Gary Naismith and the club. I think you look at League One at the moment, there's four full-time teams. They're a part-time team, so they are overachieving, and they've done excellent this season with Gary Naismith there. I think it's just when you put in comparison of what we watch at Motherwell and you look at their manager not making the shortlist, but take nothing away from Gary Naismith. He's had a brilliant season with that club, and again, he'll be looking to try and get to that championship, because that, again, if he manages to do that, would just be incredible for them.
And as we always say with the PFA shortlist, it's voted by other managers. So you'd imagine the bulk of those votes will be League One managers who have come up against Gary Naismith's Stenhouse Muir side and been very impressed by what they've seen.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, we always say that when it comes to the PFA, when you look at the team of the years and the different, team of the season and the different leagues, and you look at the manager, it is voted by your peers, voted by your professionals. There will be different reasons for people voting. But to bring it back to Jens Bertelascu, that's why I'm actually really surprised he's not on it, because I have lost count of the amount of managers, the amount of players, all that you speak to who rave about Motherwell, who talk about the brand of football, they talk about the job he's done. But he's not managed to canvass enough votes to get his place here.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. James is a Celtic fan in Port Glasgow. James, what have you got for us tonight?
Good evening, lads, David and Cabby. I've got a wee scenario for you. Hearts could win the league on the fourth game out of the fifth in their champions, and they've come to Celtic Park. Should we give them a guard of honour?
I like the hypotheticals. Why not?
Yeah.
Should or will?
I think James has asked should.
Okay.
But it's two separate points. First of all, should.
Should, yes, for me. Again, if a team's championship, you should respect them.
Yeah, I mean, I always think the guard of honour thing is overblown, and does it really matter? Do players really care? Mm. I get the whole respect thing. I think we've had a couple of situations in recent years, Celtic and Rangers, and who's going to give one and are they going to give one, and it's never materialised. I don't know, James, to be perfectly honest with you. I didn't expect Guard of Honour debates this early with so much still to happen and three potential champions, but I would be surprised if it happened.
Yeah, because that's it, James. Hearts may not win the league. Celtic may win the league and you'll be very happy with that. The fact that you're proposing this, is that a concern for you that Hearts are going to win it, or are you still up in the air?
I think it might be due to the last game between Celtic and Hearts. If Hearts won it, I would stand and give them a clap. Absolutely. They're the best team. You show them respect. And I think it's a nice thing for Scottish football to say, well, we stood back. They came to their ground in the last game and they won it. Simple as that. I've got a wee second point, Andrew.
Go for it.
I don't know about you, but being a Celtic fan, what has happened to our manager, our new manager? There is not a cheat from anybody, any source telling us who is going to be the next manager of Celtic. Now, it could happen. We could win the league and have a Scottish Cup. We don't have a manager. Surely there's got to be things going on in the background, lads. Surely.
I do find this very interesting because, for all we know, Celtic may have had a deal already done and there's a manager in place that's going to be announced at some point, but because there's not really been any chat about it, and I think a lot of it is down to people just being purely distracted by the title race and everything that's going on, a bit of a radio silence, supporters like James are going to start asking questions why, at this point, there's no public announcement of any manager or any talk of a search going on.
Yeah, and I think I would be surprised if there was any public announcement before the end of the season. I think Celtic will let the season, I mean, it's only got 4 or 5 weeks to go, I think they'll let that get out of the way before. In terms of the search, the strongest noise is covering the club and covering these things, James, is towards Robbie Keane. I'll be honest with you, that is the one that keeps getting brought up as a potential. He's obviously won trophies in Israel, he's won trophies in Hungary, he's in a title fight just now with Ferencváros. He's played for the club. I think there are admirers of Robbie Keane's work within the Celtic hierarchy. I think he would be interested in the job. He was linked heavily with Tottenham. That never happened. Obviously, De Zerbi went in there. He's ready to move. He's pretty much said himself that he will move on this summer. So he's the one that is probably gaining a bit of traction. I know there was a lot of people putting two and two together last week when I think Johnny Hayes and Scott Brown were both over as part of a coaching course, just watching Ferencváros train. He's obviously got Stephen Glass as his assistant. So I can understand why there is a lot of links there. And I'll be honest with you, there is a bit of noise around that one. However, I think the manager that didn't make the shortlist for the Manager of the Year award, James Bertolascu, will also feature in Celtic's thoughts. He's been at Celtic quite a lot recently, watching games and stuff like that. Again, people putting two and two together. Craig Bellamy was another one. I think Roberto Martinez is one that never really seems to go away, I think, because of the Sean Maloney link. However, Portugal at the World Cup, you know, it's going to be a really late one for that if it was to be him. And Celtic, depending where they finish, could have a first European game. I think the earliest Celtic could play in Europe is maybe the 22nd of July. So I would imagine Celtic would want a manager in before the end of May, and I would be amazed if it's Roberto Martinez. But of them all, I'd agree with you, James, it does seem quite quiet just now. But of them all, I've had 10p just now, and please gamble responsibly, I'd put it in Robbie Keane.
How do you feel about that, James?
I don't know who to go for. I would love Big Ange to come back. What a story that would be. But the manager at Motherwell, I don't know much about the guy. Where's he from? Is this his first season? He's done really well. Motherwell's played the best football in the whole season. He can't do that. Well, it's still been the same style in the second season. I don't know. But the way I look at it is, we have to get into the Champions League qualifiers. I would have a manager in next week, sit in the stand and watch all the teams, watch the players, see who he likes, who he doesn't like. We can't go to the end of the season if we win the Scottish Cup and we've still not got a manager, because is it 5 weeks of a break and then we're back in it? Surely they've got to come in long before then. That's just my opinion, boys.
Because I wonder how far behind would they be, far behind in their planning for next season if there is no manager in place before the end of the season? How much easier is it to succession plan and work out what your recruitment strategy is if you know the manager that you're planning for? Does it make a big difference, do you feel? Or if the manager comes in right after the season ends, can everything get done and there's not too much of a worry?
Listen, I think the way the season's panned out and how close it is at the top of the league probably suits the Celtic board. That it keeps everything quiet and allows them to probably work away in the background to identify the right candidate to be the manager, without a huge amount of distractions. But listen, if Celtic were to get beat at the weekend and then the fans started to feel as if that was their season done, then there'll be questions asked, because they'll want them questions answered pretty quickly who the next manager is. I think the longer a manager can be in place and when the quicker you can get him in place allows him to have time to have an influence on the recruitment, have an influence on people behind the scenes at the club and what he wants to bring in. And also assess the players that are there at the moment. But I would imagine there's been a number of conversations had with a few managers, potential managers coming up for Celtic behind the scenes, because listen, it's a huge decision for Celtic. They need to get it right. They've got a big turnaround in players. I think they need it in the summer as well. So it's a big job.
Well, thank you to James. What about Malky, who's a Celtic fan in Pollock? Is it the PFA Manager of the Year shortlist that you're thinking of?
Yes, yes.
What's on your mind?
Why is Martin O'Neill not running it? If it wasn't for Celtic board, Martin O'Neill would have won the League Cup. And he's got them the Scottish Cup final, and he's lying second in the league, possibly a chance to win the league. So why is Martin O'Neill not in the discussion for Manager of the Year?
Yeah, look, we, as we said right at the start, there are a lot of managers who can have really strong ends to the season and can make history. Cam even spoke about Neil Lennon at the Scottish Cup final. Just to kind of focus on Martin O'Neill, Malky, I agree with you. I think over his two spells, he has done an unbelievable job for a guy who was coming in really cold and put under a lot of pressure and came in basically just to kind of bail Celtic out at the time. I would agree if Celtic didn't have that Wilfried Nancy detour, which I still can't really get my head around, I think Celtic would potentially be top of the league just now. I think they probably would have beaten St Mirren in that final as well. So I get that stance, but as the time where the votes were going in by the other managers are obviously looking at the table, Celtic were probably third in the league at that time. So I don't think Martin O'Neill, while he might have got some votes, was in obviously in the top three. But you know, forget a managerial reward. If Celtic win the double, they'll be getting statues for Martin O'Neill.
Okay.
Why is he not in the running? Because, as I said, if it wasn't for the Celtic board and bringing Nancy in, Celtic would usually have the league wrapped up for Christmas time.
The thing is, I suppose that the managers just need to vote on what has happened rather than, you know, what may have happened if Wilfried Nancy wasn't brought in. And Martin O'Neill has obviously done a very good job across both his spells. Celtic, who at one point looked miles off it when Wilfried Nancy had come in and lost 6 out of 8 matches, he's got Celtic now in a position where they're second in the table, could win a double. But you know, Malky saying that, you know, they could be well ahead in the league, they could have won the League Cup, managers won't really take that into account when they're voting, because you're not really going to look at the hypotheticals, you're just going to look at what's in front of you.
No, listen, first and foremost, Martin O'Neill has done an incredible job for Celtic this season in both spells. It's been a really difficult, it's not even just managing the players, he's had a lot going on around the club, he's had to manage a lot of noise out with the team, and also trying to get that team that's got a real lack of confidence after the Wilfried Nancy disaster back on the pitch and winning games of football, and he's done that. So he's had a brilliant, brilliant time since he came in. Probably what plays against Martin O'Neill not getting voted in was the fact that he's had two spells and it wasn't one consistent spell. If he had stayed and they didn't have that Wilfried Nancy period, then I think he would have been in the running, certainly would have been in the running. But I think probably just that broken up period and two spells, but there's no getting away from it. Listen, Martin O'Neill would much rather have titles in the bank than winning a PFA Manager of the Year award. So listen, his focus will be on trying to win the title and obviously trying to win the Scottish Cup, and that'll please the fans more than him getting voted.
Well, thank you to Malky. 0141 951 1025. Any more thoughts on the title race, the Manager of the Year shortlist? That is the number to ring, and while you get your calls in, I'll tell you about this, because we're doing something special this weekend on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's all because this season has been so exciting, could go down to the final day, and the 3rd of May marks 40 years since Celtic's league title win in 1986, when Hearts lost the trophy on the final day of the season after goals from Dundee's Albert Kidd. Join Hugh Keevans from 6 o'clock on Sunday, straight after Clyde One Super Scoreboard, as we revisit all the events from Love Street and Dens Park which changed the course of the title. He's joined by players from Celtic, Hearts, Dundee, as well as an exclusive interview with Dundee's goal scorer and that man that's become a bit of a cult hero for Celtic in Albert Kidd. Plus, we'll be hearing all the action as the goals go in. We've got all the archive footage from the day. So if you've ever wanted to hear what Hugh Keevan sounded like back in 1986, or maybe you remember and you just want to reminisce, this is your chance. So join us for Albert Kidd, the heartbreak season, this Sunday from 6 o'clock. You can listen live or watch on our YouTube channel.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Freeland, Cammy Bell here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still plenty of time to get your calls in before 8 o'clock. So whatever you are thinking, we are here for you. Lots of chat about the PFA Manager of the Year shortlist. Dennett McInnes, John McGlynn and Gary Naismith are on it. Some chat about who has been left out. So any other names that you want to bring up, 01419511025. Of course, the title race is still on everybody's mind. So if you've got any thoughts on that, give us a call. Plenty else happening, so get in touch. Let's speak to Stephen, who's a Motherwell fan in Cambuslang. Stephen, as a Motherwell fan, I have a feeling I know who you think has been left out of this shortlist.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I don't want to take away from the job that John McGlynn's done at Falkirk or Gary Naismith's done at Stenhousemuir. I do think that they've done fantastic jobs. I just think that, when Jens has been on buddy's lips for the majority of the season, when the Motherwell team's been the talk of the town, if you like, we've got five players in the PFA this season. He is the manager then on the shortlist. That doesn't make much sense to me. But he's done a great job at Falkirk. Gary's done a great job at Stenhousemuir. I think Dennett McInnes is the obvious one for what he's done at Hearts. He's always going to be on it.
Did that make it a bigger shock to you, Stephen? The fact that when you look at the other shortlists for Team of the Year, as you mentioned, for Player of the Year, as you mentioned, that they are so Motherwell heavy, that does that make it more of a shock that Jens Bertolaskou didn't get in there?
Yeah, no, definitely, I think, because he's the reason, big part of the reason, obviously, the players need to go out and do it on the pitch. He's a big part of the reason that these boys are in. And that squad, I mean, you just look what he's done for the likes of Paul McGinn and Stephen O'Donnell. He's completely transformed them as well. I mean, Stephen O'Donnell's playing like Caffey at times. And it's just, he's been phenomenal. He gets two assists at Ibrox at the weekend. And I've never seen a Motherwell team go to Ibrox and play like that. I was on the other night. I've never seen a Motherwell team go to Ibrox and play like that. And it's not just been that game. In other games this season where we've been outstanding, and it's a shock that he's not on the shortlist. But listen, the three names on the shortlist have done a fantastic job as well, and we know at Motherwell that we've got a guy that's fantastic.
Because that is it. Like Stephen says, it's not taking away from the achievements of the other managers, because just the way the voting is split, sometimes there can sometimes be four managers on the shortlist. There is a case that Jens Bertolaskou only missed out by one vote, but it won't stop people from asking, why he's not there. And Stephen mentioning the improvement of players that were already there, but on top of that, the recruitment of bringing in players. We've seen at times that he's changed the team around, had players playing in different positions, and it's not really affected their form or the way they've played at all.
Yeah, listen, it's the whole package with Motherwell this season. Yeah, you mention improving players, you mention recruitment, you look at tactics, the way that he's approached games, his style of play. You can go on and on the way that Jens Bertolaskou has changed this Motherwell team and brought a belief and a success to Motherwell as well. So it's not just one element that he's been successful, and it's so many elements throughout the club that he's done so well this season. And again, we'll keep on speaking about why he's not in it. And as you say, it might have just been one vote that he didn't get in it, but there's no taking away from it. He's had an absolutely fantastic season. The Motherwell fans know how well he's done. And they'll be looking forward to the last games coming up. I think you look at the masterclass that he produced at the weekend against Rangers. It was a tactical change for him, the way that he approached the game, and that's just another, as I say, element of why he, for me, should have been in that shortlist, but he's not. So I still think he's done a wonderful job this season.
How good are you feeling about the next few games, Stephen? Because there was obviously that blip. There was maybe a time where Motherwell fans were looking over their shoulder at Hibs, but the result at the weekend, Hibs losing as well, you going into these final four games full of confidence, looking forward to the end of the season?
I think we need to be confident. I never ever bought into the fact that there was a blip. I think minus the Falkirk game, you look at it, John McCracken's had the game his life at Dens, and there's been decisions in the Hearts game, in the Celtic game that didn't go away. So I never bought into the fact that it was a blip. The performances and the most part were still there. It's just maybe things weren't falling for us or going our way. To Wanda Maswanizi misses a great chance at one each at Tynecastle that probably sees us going on to win the game. So I had the confidence that we were going to go to Ibrox and win on Sunday, and we did. And in these next four games, I think it's about just trying to win them all, because one thing that we want to prove that we've maybe if you could say we've not done as well in this season as the games against teams in the top six. I know we've just beat Rangers at Ibrox, and we did produce a great performance against Celtic at home, but we've struggled against Falkirk. We've drew a couple against Tabs and we've failed to beat Hearts. So let's go and beat the rest of the teams that we've got to play and finish on as many points as we can.
Because that is another point. Across the 34 league games that Jens Bertolascu has taken charge of, Motherwell haven't won every single one of them. But there won't be many games that Jens Bertolascu will come away from and think, that was a poor performance. Even the games, as Stephen says, that Motherwell haven't won or maybe gone through a spell where they've had three or four results that haven't gone their way, Jens Bertolascu has been pretty happy with the performances by and large.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at the Falkirk Motherwell game this weekend, Andrew, but Stephen will remember the one at the start of the season when Scott Arfield scored the winner, and Motherwell should have been out of sight. They had a perfectly good goal disallowed that day as well. I mean, it's probably one of their better performances of the season, actually, and they lost the game in the end. So, yeah, there have been games, there's been a few that have got away from them, that he will look back. And he was actually asked about that after the game at Ibrox in terms of seeing how they played. Does he regret that they're not even higher up the table? But his point of view was that it was a newly assembled team. There was a lot of players coming in off seasons where they'd maybe not played so much for their previous clubs. I mean, I spoke about Elliot Watt recently, at the start of the show, and he couldn't get a game with St Johnston last season. They got relegated. He couldn't get in the team. So he's coming in, having to get his confidence rebuilt, and he's become an absolute standout in this league. So he had a lot to contend with at the start of the season. I do think Motherwell will look back in certain games that think, you know, those were points that were just slipped up a bit. But over the piece, they've been outstanding.
Stephen, there was something else you wanted to chat to us about?
Yeah, so I'm the lead for the Scottish Football Union on disability, and we are having our first disability forum next week at McDermott Park. We're basically bringing the majority of the DAOs within Scottish football together, as well as people like Ashley Reid, the CEO of Scottish Para Football. She's going to be doing a speech. We've got Owen Davis from Level Playing Fields. He's going to be doing a speech. And Keith Ferguson, who's done great work across the years for CAFE, the Centre of Access for Football in Europe and across Scotland. He's doing a speech as well. And it's really just to get all these people in the one room and get everybody working together and having a discussion. I think the last time everybody sat together was 2 years ago. Should we want this to be done annually? We want to see if DAOs can learn from people within Scottish Para Football, like Ashley Reid, and vice versa, and hopefully get more disabled people involved in disability sport. Help clubs get DSAs set up, because not every club in Scotland has one, which is something that I think should be a must. And really just have a chat amongst the people in the relevant positions and see how we can improve the football experience for disabled people, both with physical and non-physical disabilities.
Yeah, how much are you looking forward to being a part of that and playing such a major role in trying to make things as great as you can?
Well, obviously, as someone that has cerebral palsy myself, I mean, I didn't start my YouTube channel just before around about the pandemic, and I was a big advocate for disabled facilities within Scottish football, and Alistair Blair was kind enough to ask me to get involved with it, with the Scottish Football Union, and it's something that I'm really passionate about, but also aware that I've got things that I need to learn. It's something I'm passionate about, but I can learn from people like Ashley Reid, people that CEOs, people that have non-physical disabilities, and just listen to these people and say, look, what do you need and how can we help you? Because I'm not saying that things are poor across Scottish football. We're actually doing pretty good, but how can we enhance and how can we improve the areas that do need improved?
Good stuff from Stephen. I like that. Always striving to make things better. That was Stephen in Cambus Lang, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. And it's also the same number for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your chance to take on either David Friel or Cammy Bell at Beat the Pundit. All you need to do is ring 0141 951 1025 before 7 o'clock. And you could be up next.
Number number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
One more hour of calls to come on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. So get them in, 0141 951 1025. We've been speaking about the PFA Manager of the Year shortlist. Of course, the title race is something that will be on everyone's minds at the moment. Anything else maybe that we haven't touched on that you think we should? 0141 951 1025. We'll get to that after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
And we've got two pundits here who rarely play, but have very different records.
Okay, all right.
You've only played seven times between you this season. Five for David Friel, five wins for David Friel, two games played for Cammy Bell, two defeats.
Consistency's key.
What are you just trying to build up? Is that it? Just a bit rusty because you've only played twice. Listen, you just need another game under your belt to get that win.
Feel good tonight, yeah.
It's going to be Adam in Airdrie who's up. I was going to ask you who you'd rather play, Adam, but I've just read out those statistics, so I don't think you've got too much to think about there.
Cammy Bell, probably.
Adam,
Have you played before?
I played once, but I get beat off Hugh 6-2 or something.
I mean, that six is a good day for Hugh, so maybe you just caught Hugh on a bad day.
He was also maybe cheating, though.
Yeah, that is a good point after last week's revelation that Hugh Keevans came into the studio and looked at the answer sheet before I'd arrived in here. Absolutely shocking. So he was on a one-match ban, and he's not been in on a weeknight since because he should be back in on Friday. So we'll see if there is any punishment for him or not. People can tweet us any punishments within reason that we should give Hugh Keevans for this cheating scandal, whether we should add to his one match ban. I mean, he had to because he'd seen all the answers.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, I don't know. He needs to explain himself.
Not going to believe anything he says anymore. I mean, I'm not sure a lot of people do anyway, but even less so now. Anyway, right, it will be the red side of, or sorry, the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin for Cammy Bell and the red side for David Friel. And it is the red side for David Friel, so you don't get your wish, Adam. But we will put something in the ear of David Friel so he cannot hear us. You will remember the rules, but I'll go over them again. It's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. How does that sound?
Sounds fine, mate.
Right, let's go. Gary Naismith started his playing career at which club?
Hibs.
What nationality is Rangers Tour Romans?
Dutch.
Who was Celtic captain at the turn of the century?
Scott Brown.
How many thistles are on the Inverness badge?
One.
Which Scottish club takes its name from ancient Greek warriors?
Pass.
Name either Dutch PFA Player of the Year award winner in Scotland.
Elijah Just.
Okay, we will bring David Friel back in. Have you got us?
I do.
There we go. 30 seconds on the clock for David Friel. Let's go. Gary Naismith started his playing career at which club?
Hearts.
What nationality is Rangers Tour Romans?
Belgian.
Who was Celtic captain at the turn of the century?
Paul Lambert.
How many thistles are on the Inverness badge?
Two.
Which Scottish club takes its name from ancient Greek warriors?
Pass.
Name either Dutch PFA Player of the Year award winner in Scotland?
Fernando Rixon.
The Scottish Premiership was founded how many years ago?
12.
The jail end can be found at which championship stadium?
Ross County.
Okay. Adam, how do you feel that went?
I've been scudded there.
I like someone who's self-aware, at least. But
they were quite tough.
There were some tough ones in there.
I'm glad
I thought there was quite a selection of questions in there as well. So we'll go through them. Gary Naismith started his playing career at which club? Adam, you went for the wrong Edinburgh team. You went for Hibs. It is Hearts, which David Friel said. So it's 1-0 to David Friel. Good start for him. What nationality is Rangers Tour Romans? You are a Rangers fan, Adam. You had a good think about this. You went Dutch. You were close in terms of geography, but it is Belgian. It goes 2-0 to David Friel. Who was the Celtic captain at the turn of the century? Adam was, he was about a decade off. He went for Scott Brown, maybe a bit more than that.
Answer. That wasn't even mine.
Oh, have you got a pal helping you out?
Aye.
Well, you can't thank him for that one. Anyway, you went for Paul Lambert.
Tom Boyd.
The answer is Tom Boyd. So neither of you get it. Remains 2-0. 2-0 to David Friel. How many thistles are on the Inverness badge? Adam pulls one back because he says one.
Yes,
David Friel says two. So it's 2-1. Which Scottish club takes its name from ancient Greek warriors?
I can't think.
No. The Spartans.
Oh, the Spartans.
What, that's one of those, once you're told it, it's obvious,
right there,
but
it?
It's not an obvious one you'd think of. Adam didn't get it either. Remains 2-1. Remains close. Name either Dutch PFA Player of the Year award winner. I think Adam was just getting confused, thinking it was maybe one of the nominees for this year that may have been Dutch. You said Elijah Just. There were two answers. Theo Snelders was one of them, and the other, Fernando Rixon. So it goes 3-1 to David Friel. That was the end of the road for Adam. Two more questions for David Friel. The Scottish Premiership was founded how many years ago? Of course, it was the SPL beforehand. It was then rebranded to the Scottish Premiership. You said 12 years ago, but it's 13 years ago. So you were 1 year out. But you did get one more question in, and you got one more correct answer, because the jail end can be found at Ross County's Stadium. So it is a 4-win for David Friel. Unlucky, Adam.
Oh, can't even win them all, can you?
Unlucky, Adam.
That's all right. Adam, how are you feeling about things from a Rangers perspective?
Basically, just need to win your last four games, then hopefully results go your way, don't you?
Do you think that's possible? Do you think Rangers can win the next four?
Aye.
What gives you that belief?
I don't know, but I can just see something. It can start on Monday if we beat Hearts, but if we don't, then it's completely over, I think.
I mean, just the difference in points tally when it comes to that Rangers-Hearts game. Rangers can be right on Hearts' tails, or could end up 7 points behind them with three games left. It's just such a crucial game for whatever happens at the top of the table, but especially crucial for Rangers in trying to get, you know, right back in amongst things.
Yeah, it's make or break for Rangers. There's no getting away from it. I think that'll be the message from the manager. The pressure's there. You can't get away from the pressure at this time of the season. If Rangers want to be champions, they need to go to Tynecastle and win that game of football. There's no getting away from that. And again, Hearts, yes, there's pressure there. A draw is not the worst result, but they'll be expecting to go and try and take 3 points. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I really do. I think both teams will go out to win it because they know the significance of what it'll do to their position in the league table and their points tally. So yeah, what a weekend we've got ahead ourselves. And again, you touch on it, the Hearts game on the Monday night, but you've got Hibs v Celtic, which will be an absolute blockbuster on Sunday as well.
Has your confidence been dented by that game against Motherwell at all, Adam, or are you just putting it down to a blip?
Has dampened the mood a wee bit, but I think we've still got enough we can do it.
I do wonder, we've had that PFA Manager of the Year debate today. You know, a lot of people saying Jens Bertolaskou should be on it. We had a Celtic fan on saying Martin O'Neill should be considered. I wonder if Rangers had won at the weekend, whether there would be more shouts for Danny Rule.
Yeah, it certainly, I don't want to say burst the Danny Rule bubble, but I think it was a real shocker for Rangers and for the manager, because I think he got his team wrong. It's team badly wrong. The fact they had to make three changes at the break would suggest that anyway. But I think over the piece, Danny Rowe has done a good job to get Rangers back into the title race from where they were. I mean, he inherited an absolute mess after what happened with Russell Martin. He has made Rangers challengers, credible challengers. You know, if they had won that game against Motherwell, they're still right in there. I don't think it's over for Rangers by any stretch of the imagination, but I think they're going to have to win all four games. And that has to start with Tynecastle. You know, as you said, Andrew, the points differential, if they lose, or I mean, a draw keeps them in it to a point, but I think it's going to be even harder if they draw the game. I think they have to go and win that.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on Danny Rule, Adam? Because as David said, people's thoughts may have shifted after the weekend. I think that maybe is just the sort of reactionary nature of football fans, though.
I think he's done a cracking job since he's came in with the team that he had, that Russell Martin left him. But sometimes, as you were saying, it's his team selections, and then he's chasing the game at half time when he's a couple goals down, having to make a change and all that.
In terms of team selection, would you expect, I know this is a very early preview because it's a Monday night game that Rangers are taking on Hearts, he has been criticised for his team selection, Danny Rule. Will that affect him in the slightest? Do you think you could see him make changes based on that, or just based on what happened against Motherwell? Will he stick to this sort of 4-2 that he's been playing, or that 4-4-2?
No, I think there's the definite possibility of personnel changes. I think you look at Hearts as well as an opposition, that they're different from what he did face against Motherwell. Motherwell probably surprised him a little bit as well with the way that they played in their system in that game. But no matter who plays, listen, they've all got to play at their top level to get 3 points, because I just think a draw isn't good enough. They're running out of games, they're running out of time, everyone else is stepping away from them. So for me, Rangers have to win the game on Monday to mount a championship title challenge. So it's going to be such a big game. The players that are there are going to have to step up to the plate.
Do you think they can?
Yeah, I think they've got the players that can go there and win it. It would take a huge performance, but I do think they have that in them. And again, they've got to show the mentality as well, because Hearts will be bang up for it. They'll be ready to go. They know how important it is, and they know that if they win the game, it puts Rangers to bed for them. So I just think it's going to be a very tight game, but certainly one that Rangers can win.
I think midfield is key for Danny Rowe. You know, he preferred this Ryan Nadiri, Yusuf Chirmi taking a partnership, and it seemed to be working quite well to a point, but I just feel that they really lacked a third midfielder against Motherwell. I thought it was too easy to play around them. And you know what Hearts are like in that area. You know, you've got Mark Leonard, maybe Cammy Devlin, Benny Beringame, Blair Spittle, guys like that. I think that's going to be such a crucial part of the game. Rangers at times on Sunday were wide open. They just left themselves wide open. I think Chukwuani and Raskin had too much to do. Asgard, it wasn't really working. The same with Gassama as well. So I wonder whether, in terms of a tactical change, he might put in a Conor Barron or a Mohamed Diamandi for Monday.
Thank you to Adam, 0141 951 1025, on the phones. Let's speak to Stephen, who is a Celtic fan, who according to my screen is very vaguely 45 minutes from Dubai.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Hi, Stephen.
No problem. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, well, listen, the main thing was obviously the title challenge that Celtic are in at this moment in time. You know, to be fair, maybe about a month ago, I never quite believed that we would still be in it with the way the results were falling. But now here we are. We've got two great games at the weekend. You know, I think Celtic have maybe just marginally started to gain a wee bit of confidence and a wee bit of momentum. I would expect them to go to Easter Road. I think Easter Road would be difficult. It's always been a difficult place for Celtic to go. I expect them to come away with the 3 points. And then I think it puts Celtic fans in the envious position of, no matter what the result is on Monday, it's a win. You know, from a personal point of view, I think Rangers will go and win that match. And my firm belief is that Motherwell will decide where the SPL title goes, because I think there's permutations with Celtic and Rangers, and Hearts all having the ability to drop points. But I think Motherwell will be the team that determines, I think, when they play Hearts, and I think when they play Celtic, I think that's the team that's going to decide who wins the SPL, genuinely.
You know who won't like the sound of that? Jens Bertolascu, because he's been asked about it a couple of times. He did make a point after the game at the weekend saying, you know, that they've been labelled the kingmakers and he's not interested in who wins the title. He's only interested in Motherwell getting victories. But
his quotes are great, Andrew. That's another reason why he should go on that shortlist. I think he said, we don't want the kingmakers. I don't care who are the kings of Scotland. They just want to decide their own fate. But I totally agree with Stephen. I think Motherwell are going to have such a big say on the title race in general, and I think those are the two games that really stood out for me. We can talk about this weekend, and it's exciting, it's thrilling, it's blockbuster, it's everything. But the following weekend, Hearts go to Motherwell, 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, and then that midweek after Celtic play Rangers, Celtic then need to go to Fir Park, 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night. It's going to be two tough games for two teams who are banging the mix to try and win the game. And as I spoke about earlier, Celtic's last experience at Fir Park, Stephen, was a really, you know, humbling one, because Motherwell played Celtic off the park, albeit it was against Wilfred Nancy's team.
Was there any point this season, Stephen, that you thought Celtic were down and out and wouldn't be in this position with four games to go where they're very much in it?
You know, I think about a month ago, you know, we were limbering, we were kind of just, I mean, Martin O'Neill's done a fantastic job, right? I think the Dundee United game was kind of a reality check of, you know, of where we were. We went up there and Jim Goodwin had Dundee United playing very regimented football. which we'd done the last time. And it kind of, they put us to the sword, and it kind of just probably made a few Celtic fans reset. At that point in time, Rangers and Hearts had a wee bit of momentum. Obviously, we've managed to pull back the points difference to where it's really anybody's. I mean, I would probably, if I'm being brutally honest, I would make Hearts slight favourites. You know, I think if Hearts were to overturn Rangers on Saturday, you know, it puts them in a fantastic position, and it gives them a kind of a loss up their sleeve, which would kind of negate the final game of the season. You know, so I'm kind of glad that we're here, you know, and if I'm being really, really honest, if Hearts were to win the league this year, I would have no complaints whatsoever. And I know as Old Firm fans are always fickle, I think most Old Firm fans on both sides would be happy as long as Hearts won it and not their opposing Old Firm team.
I do love the mental gymnastics that come into it as well, of people considering results that they wouldn't mind taking just because it would mean that the team they don't want to win the title doesn't win the title, but it's going to be just all part of the fun for the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be brilliant. Again, I agree with Stephen there that for me, Hearts they've got to have the advantage. They're sitting top of the tree. They're 3 points clear at the top. But every weekend or every midweek fixture that goes by is going to be decisive for every team. I really feel this weekend is a huge one. If Celtic can get that victory at Easter Road, which will be a tough game for them, then they can almost just sit back and allow whatever's going to happen at Tynecastle happen. Because they've done their job, and that's a slight advantage of playing the day before. They can wait and see what happens, and then they then need to go into an Old Firm game after that. But if they've won their game against Falkirk, they win the game on Sunday against Hibs, going into an Old Firm game at home, they've got to be confident against the Rangers team. So they've certainly turned it around for me, because there was one point that I looked at Celtic and I thought it's going to be really difficult for them to win the league, but they're bang in there along with the other two.
Thank you to Stephen. We've had a bit of correspondence on Beat the Pundit from a couple of people. First of all, David McGregor on Twitter is pointing out that Jaylen question was on Beat the Pundit last night clearly just wasn't taken off the sheet. So whatever I say here, you're going to claim that you weren't listening to the show last night and that you would have known that anyway.
I genuinely wasn't.
But David's demanding that point gets taken off. I mean, you still win either way.
Right. And very sorry, David.
And your colleague at the Scottish Sun, Roger Hannah, has been in touch to say that you should be on -1.
Why?
Well, you're 7 wins from 7, are you? I think it's just Roger's competitive nature that he wants to see you start losing some matches.
I think that's pretty harsh. This is a man who's mounted a campaign to try and get his point back. Mm-hmm. So, no, I think it's far too early for that.
In your defence, Marvin Bartley, before he binned us to take over the small matter of being Livingston manager this season, was 15 wins from 15 this season. Before, maybe he took the job because he just didn't want to ruin his Beat the Pundit record, and he wanted to go out on a high. But he was 15 wins from 15 and never went to -1.
So I've still got 7 or 8 left then.
So maybe if you get to 16 wins, then we consider it. Is that what we're saying?
That's fine.
Right, okay. Let me tell you about this. Clyde One. This is a question I absolutely would not ask Gordon DL. What would you do this bank holiday weekend if you had an extra £790,000 to play with? It is our biggest prize yet, and it must be won this Friday. Enter Make Me a Winner draw now. You do not want to miss this at all. Text YES to 61025, text or 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll also find the rules for this network competition, or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only, and lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday. And all you need to do if you get the call is just answer your phone, as easy as that, and you will win £790,000 paid straight into your bank account right after the call. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel and Cammy Bell taking your calls on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are here until 8 o'clock, so keep them coming. 0141 951 1025. A lot of debate about the Manager of the Year PFA shortlist. Dennett McInnes, John McGlynn and Gary Naismith are on it. A lot of discussion about maybe some of the managers that aren't on it. So if you've got any other suggestions or you want to add to the discussion we've had, that is absolutely fine. Or maybe it's the title race, what's going on at your club with just 4 games left to go of the Premiership season. Of course, the Championship, League One, League Two seasons conclude this weekend as well before the playoffs kick off. So any thoughts? 0141 951 1025. Let's set this up for the two of you.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Yeah, as usual, big thanks to our sponsors, Arcaplan Glasgow on the full-time teaser, and thank you to Mark in Dunfermline who sent this one in. Nice and topical. Can you name the last 8 managers nominated for the PFA Manager of the Year who have previously played for the club they managed when nominated? There's a lot of words, but it is a relatively simple subject. Managers who have been nominated for PFA Manager of the Year and have played for the club they were in charge of.
Can I kick it off?
Please.
David Gray.
David Gray. That is the most recent of the lot.
Neil Lennon.
Neil Lennon is not on there.
Is he not?
Not on there. Mm, interesting.
It is interesting, that.
Has it got you stumped, Cammy?
Yeah.
We've only got 8, so okay. I'll let you have David Gray and I'll let you have some thinking time as well, unless you've got, I can see the cogs going.
Yeah.
Right, I'll leave you some thinking.
Let me have a wee think.
Yeah. David Gray, Hibs 2024-25 season, and the rest we will hopefully get after we speak to John, who is a Celtic fan in Coatbridge. John, how are you?
Hi, guys. Hi, Andrew, David, and Cammy. How are you, guys?
Hi, John.
Good, thank
you. John?
Good. I was saying to the producer there, right, I spoke to a couple of my boys, on fellow Celtic fans, and on some of the blogs. Now, this is a wee thing I've got. I would like the Motherwell manager to come. Sometimes I get mixed up with your name, Jens Bertolasco, right? But do you not maybe think, guys, that this guy's already been appointed the Celtic manager behind the scenes, and obviously a conflict of interest, Celtic can't sort of come out with that now because it obviously seems not finished. We've still got to play Murrow. I think this might be a done deal. So what do you think, guys?
If it is, it's been kept under wraps, and nothing normally gets kept under wraps for too long in Scotland, John. But look, he must be in contention. He has to be, because you can't ignore what he's done. And as I said, he's been at a lot of Celtic games recently, obviously on Motherwell business, because they've played Celtic a few times recently. He's well thought of at Celtic. I don't think there's any denying that at all. Whether Celtic would feel that the one season that they've seen him up close is enough remains to be seen. One of the callers earlier was asking about his back catalogue, his background, etc. And he was the manager of Gothenburg in Sweden at one point. He went to the Faroe Islands, took a bit of a detour, won some trophies there. His last job before Motherwell was actually Copenhagen's number 2. He was assistant manager there last season. So it's a jump to then, I think, probably go to Celtic. Could he handle it? I don't think there's any question he could. And if Celtic don't try and get him, someone else certainly will. You know, he's a man who will be in demand this summer. And is it a done deal? I would be surprised at that, but it would also not surprise me if he was banging the running for this job.
Has he done enough for you to get the job, John, or is there another suggestion you'd rather have?
No, I think the guy's done well enough, but as I said to the producer, and I tried on a couple of weeks ago and make a point, is the only thing that worries me about this boy getting the job, well, we'll know how tight the Celtic board are at times, and the only thing that worries me is if they give this guy the job, looking at the job he's done with Motherwell, with a limited budget and some of the guys he's brought in, and it's the only thing that worries me, that they won't spend the money we've got. That's the only thing. But as I said, I know, as I said, he's been number 2 at Copenhagen last year. He's came here, and as I said, he handles, the way he handles himself is very good. That's what I like about him. I mean, he's not prepared, he isn't afraid to change things about, which he's done in Sunday against Rangers, playing without a number 9. It sort of bamboozled the Rangers defence a wee bit, as Daz and that was on about last night. So it seems to be, he thinks outside the box, this guy. So I mean, put it this way, it can't be any worse than, I'm not having a go at the guy, nonsense. So it's a no-brainer to me, because I think a lot of Celtic fans are against the idea of Robbie Keane, so we won't get into politics, you know what I mean, for which, well, because he's been very managed, etc. But Robbie Keane would be a good shout to me as well. But and I know there's talk about Martinez, but I don't think he's on Celtic's wish list for me. If I don't think so, I know he's friendly with Sean Maloney, but I would take the guy, give him a chance to see how he could do.
I love the thought of the Celtic board sitting there thinking, can't be any worse than Wilfred Nancy. That was the decision making model.
Well, it is a fair point. Yeah,
when it comes to Jens Bertelasco, you know, John's talking about he doesn't feel the Celtic board maybe spend enough. Other people will say they do spend, but just haven't spent on the right players. But the fact that Jens Bertelasco has done it on a shoestring budget and has Motherwell playing this way and has managed to improve the players that are already there and uncover some gems as well, the likes of Elijah Just, who he'd previously worked with and has now come in and is in the shortlist for PFA Player of the Year. Those are the types of things that, whether it is the Celtic board or the boards of other teams elsewhere, we'll be looking at.
Yeah, listen, the big one is, can you improve players that are already there? Certainly owners of football clubs will want that to happen when a manager comes in, and Bertelasco has certainly done that. Motherwell, so yeah, I think his name's got to be in the running for the Celtic job next season, because he's done so well at Motherwell, and I think he's shown that the fact that his recruitment, as you mentioned, Andrew, was fantastic. He's brought in players from different areas that we've not really looked at before, lower leagues, and again, the style of play, the way that he goes about his business. I think John makes a really good point with regards to the way he handles himself as well. When you go to a big club like Celtic, you're under a lot of pressure. Everything you say is scrutinised when you're speaking to the media. So you need to say the right things. You need to be calm in moments as well. And he certainly comes across that way, no matter. We've seen Motherwell lose a couple of games, but again, he doesn't change too much. He's also, John mentioned, that he has that tactical change that he can do. He went to Ibrox on Sunday, played without that natural number nine, which wasn't what we're used to seeing Motherwell do, and it absolutely worked. So I think there's a lot to like about him, and certainly if you're a Celtic fan, then you would look at it and think he's got to be in the running.
There's still a possibility that Martin O'Neill wins a double this season, John. If that happens, or even if it doesn't happen, do you see any avenue that he would continue?
Well, I would love Martin. Obviously, I mean, 99% of Celtic fans would love Martin to stay, but I don't think that's what he wants to do. But to me, Martin should get a job upstairs, you know what I mean? And obviously we're there to help out being the managers, etc. And I think Martin's a fan of this manager as well. So can I make another wee point, Andrew, about, I tried to go on last night about the player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I know I'm going to contradict myself here, right? So Benjamin Negrin, right, he scored 20 or 21 goals, right? But I don't know how he's not in the running, but I know to me, he doesn't do enough, even though he scored 21 goals, right? A lot of Celtic fellow fans are the same. He doesn't seem to do enough work, although he can't take away what he's done. But I don't know how that guy's not in the running. And as I said last night, Lauren Shanks had a great season, but he was out injured for about 2 months there. I think the other boy, I know Braga, to me, Braga should win it. I think he's been brilliant. But I think the boy as well, the winger, I would love him at Celtic Park, that Kizaridis, I think he's more befitting to be in the running for player of the year than Lauren Shankland.
Kizaridis has maybe kind of fallen off a bit, had a really good start to the season, but, you know, sort of goals and assists have tailed off slightly. Just on John's point on Benjamin Negrin, I always think Benjamin Negrin's just a really interesting case study, because as John admitted that he's kind of contradicting himself, that he doesn't think Benjamin Negrin impacts games enough across the 90 minutes, but he's also the second top goal scorer in the league, has 20 goals in all competitions, has been Celtic's most potent attacking threat, but at the same time, does he do enough during games? Does it matter if he's doing enough during games, if he's scoring goals?
He's a complete enigma. He is, because in terms of goals, as you say, Andrew, he's always available, very robust in terms of he can play 90 minutes, he can rack up the games. He is part of the Sweden team. He gets a game for Sweden, a Sweden team that's going to the World Cup now as well. Celtic signed him for, I think, about 1.5 million, 2 million from Nordsjælland. It was an absolute bargain. And I think there'll be clubs circling for him now and probably wondering why is he not in the Scottish Player of the Year shortlist. But I don't think you can really, I can't personally gripe about the four that are on it. For me, I agree. I think Claude Braga is the Player of the Year in Scotland. I think from start to finish, if we're calling it right now, I think he's been a huge influence. I think he's been a value signing. I think his energy, infection and his song have all really stood out this season as well. In terms of Lauren Shankland, I think it's purely because John, he started the season so well. Okay, he had that period out, but then he's come back again and he scored big goals again. And I feel he's just been a talisman for Hearts, so I can understand why other players are going to vote for him. And the two Motherwell ones speak for themselves.
Well, thank you to John. What about Gary, who is in Blantyre? Gary, what are you thinking tonight?
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, guys. Hope you're all well.
Hi, Gary.
You too.
So just to, I suppose, continuing the kind of manager of the year theme, I find it astounding that a guy who's been lauded and praised for what he's done in the football Motherwell play, but like you say, making players better, changing Motherwell as a club. I mean, I would watch Motherwell every week, and yet this guy has known the top three, but the guy who's sitting in sixth position at the moment is John McGlynn. I mean, he's done great, but this isn't about the manager of the last couple of seasons, because he's come up and now he's top six.
But does that not work in John McGlynn's favour in terms of getting votes if he's brought the team up from the Championship and people are maybe not expecting them to stay in the division and they end up finishing in the top six? Whereas Motherwell, the ambitions, people maybe thought they, you know, might not be sort of relegation candidates, but maybe weren't expecting them to be in top six. Or Falkirk, maybe, I don't know, are Falkirk overachieving more than Motherwell?
No. Absolutely not, because as much as maybe nobody expected the season focus we've had and making the top six, nobody expected Motherwell to be playing the brand of football they're playing and kind of going to Rangers, pumping Rangers at Ibrox, doing the same to Celtic at Firth Park, just playing really, really good football week in, week out. So they've well overachieved in terms of what even their own fans would have thought was possible this season. But then, as well as John McGlynn, again, I'm not taking away from John McGlynn. I think he's great for Scottish football. He's a great story. But you've also got a guy who's not even sitting about to be promoted, probably, but maybe in with a chance. But Gary Naismith is sitting second in his league. It just doesn't make sense to me. Honestly, it doesn't. I think Bert Lasku is robbed not to be in there. He's had the biggest impact with any club this season, and he's only come in this season as well. It's not as if he's worked with the players like John McGlynn has for years and kind of bringing them on. He's made such a difference to that club. The whole kind of aura about the club, everything.
I'm nosy as well. I'd love to just sit down and ask all the managers who they picked and why.
I was going to say that to you, Andrew, right? Are our roles reversed this week? Thursday, Friday, all the press conference, do we just start by saying, explain yourself? Explain your
vote. Tell us who you voted for and why,
and justify why. I mean, that's three words that's been used tonight. Insult to Motherwell, shocking and astounding about Jens Pertelascu's name not being on that list. So I think the managers this week should be explaining themselves to us.
I quite like that. Are you going to take it to them? What do you think they're responsible?
Go and chase yourself.
I'll just do it as a public thing where they all have to come out and just say their votes as they do it, and we'll tally them up. Make it an annual event.
You can't disagree with everything that Gary said there, though. You look at it, and Motherwell have been outstanding this season. He has changed the club. He's brought so much energy to it. He's been excellent. They're going to cash in on a lot of the players this summer. I would imagine there'll be a lot of teams looking to try and take a few players away from Motherwell for good money as well. So everything he's done has been successful this season. He's been excellent. He'll be looking to try and finish the season with mid-60 points, which is just incredible, because you probably at the start of the season were looking at Motherwell to be in a bottom six team. There's no getting away from that. So he's been outstanding. Listen, will the manager, he'll probably slightly a little bit disappointed and annoyed, he's maybe not in it, but he'll certainly be more hungry to go and get that mid-60 points and win the next few games that are ahead of you still.
Well, thank you to Gary. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Big games at the top of the SWPL 1 tonight. It's Glasgow City 1, Celtic 1 in the earlier kickoff. Rangers take on Hibs later on. You two have some work to do on the teaser, because you only have one of these so far. Can you name the last eight managers nominated for the PFA Manager of the Year who have previously played for the club they managed when nominated? You have David Gray, of course, managed Hibs. Played for Hibs.
Callum Davidson.
You are doing them in sort of reverse chronological order. Robbie Nielsen. No,
I'm surprised at that. What about Alec Neil?
No.
Jim Goodwin.
Yes, correct. For
St Mirren.
No.
Alloa. Okay.
Yeah, Jim Goodwin for Alloa in the 2018-19 season. I'll let you think a bit more about those while I tell you about Safe Hands. They're home safety experts who install smoke and burglar alarms. Since February 2022, Scottish law requires every home to have an interlinked smoke and heat alarm system installed. That means if alarms are connected throughout your home, if one goes off, then they all go off. Safe Hands are a Scottish family business with over 900 five-star reviews. They come to you, handle absolutely everything, and are finished in 25 minutes. So head over to Clyde1.com for more information. You can also enter at the website for the chance to win free smoke alarm installation worth up to £230.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of Clyde One Super Scoreboard, David Friel and Cammy Bell taking your final thoughts on this Wednesday. We're going to get some final answers, or close to final answers, on the teaser, then we'll finish up at the end. Can you name the last eight managers nominated for the PFA Manager of the Year who have previously played for the club they managed when nominated? You have said David Gray, Callum Davidson and Jim Goodwin.
Jack Ross.
Jack Ross is correct.
Alan Archibald.
Alan Archibald, another good shout. St Mirren for Jack Ross and Partick Thistle for Alan Archibald. We will leave the others until the end of the show. One thing we haven't touched on, not Scottish football, but last night's game between PSG and Bayern Munich was, I mean, got to be one of the best games you've ever seen, surely.
100%.
Yep.
But as a goalkeeper, Cammy, would you have been happy?
I was happy watching it. It was sensational. It was honestly unbelievable to watch. Yes, as a goalkeeper you certainly wouldn't be happy conceding that many goals, but there's so many chances. Even with the goals, hitting the woodwork, some good saves from goalkeepers. It was just it was absolutely incredible.
It was unbelievable. It was, and it just, the pace of play at, and how everything was done with a purpose, and you're watching the best players in the world just have a go at each other.
The quality was ridiculous.
The final goal was my favourite, Luis Diaz. Pass to the touch, the pause and the finish. Yeah. Ridiculous.
I'm enjoying all the stuff about now Arsenal against Atletico tonight. People thinking it's going to be the first game that finishes -1, -1. It's
just play for corners.
Yeah. I've also seen someone just saying just play PSG Bayern four times as the semi-finals and play them in the final. Again, who knows? Maybe the game tonight will surprise us. Anyway, back to the real stuff, the Scottish football. Let's speak to Andy, who's a Rangers fan in Finiston. Andy, what's going on?
How you doing, guys? All right?
Hi, Andy.
I actually tried going before the game on Sunday and said Rangers really need to play for like 75-80 minutes. You know, really good football, which they've never done. Don't take it away, Murrow played really well. But I just think, see, after 20 minutes, Danny Rose have ever went. I mean, you can see what's happening. Every time Murrow on the park, you think they're going to score. So why did they not change things? You know, rather than wait to half time, go, no, there's something wrong here. We're in trouble. I think he did start the wrong team. I said, I think Mikey Moore and Ian Wondick have started.
I mean, Danny Rule did make changes at half time. It was three changes, wasn't it? Tavernier, Moore and Diamandi coming on. Should he have changed it earlier, as Andy said?
Yeah. Again, you've got to be really brave as a manager to make big decisions when it's not going right, or you've possibly got it wrong, because if you make a change after 25, 30 minutes in the first half, obviously, it's disappointing for the player that comes off, but it's almost admitting you've got it wrong. You've made a mistake going into that game tactically. Could he have tweaked it with the players on the pitch? Potentially. But I genuinely agree with Andy that you've sometimes got to be really brave and make them decisions that are uncomfortable at the time, and sometimes hold your hands up and say, I've got it wrong. But that would have been for the benefit of the team to try and go and get the 3 points. But he made the changes at half time. Yes, it made an impact, but was it a little bit too late potentially?
What's it done for your thoughts on the title race, Andy?
I know we had to win 5 games. The only thing that's annoying me now, we need to win 4 games, but relying on another team to do us a favour, which has kind of dented my hopes a wee bit. I'm still not giving up, but that's kind of dented my hopes a wee bit.
How much better were you feeling about things going into the weekend than you are now?
I think if Danny plays the right team, the strongest team, we can definitely beat Hearts. We can definitely beat them, but we really need to be up for it. As I said earlier on, not in this 35-45, we need to play a lot longer. And we can play good football, but we just can't seem to do it for that length of time.
Is it simple Rangers? Do Rangers have to win on Monday? Is a draw enough for you to still keep them in contention, Andy? No.
No, we need one. We need one. No, a draw is no good. We need one. We definitely need one.
I think it's win at all costs. And Danny Rowe after the game did say he referred to it as a final. I think he knows that as well. I just think even if Rangers stay 4 points behind with three games to go, you know, Hearts have got that home game against Falkirk coming up as well, which I think Derek McInnes will feel is one they can certainly be chalking off the list. Again, we've spoken at length about Falkirk tonight. It's going to be a hard game, but Hearts going for the title against a Falkirk team that might not have anything to play for at that point, you would expect them to win that. So I think Rangers just have to go and win that game.
Agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no getting away from it. I think that'll be the message from the manager as well, that you need to win this game. And listen, see if they do win the game, it completely changes it as well from a Rangers perspective. It brings the points total right back in, and it's the belief they'll need going into the next game after that, which is obviously the Old Firm.
Well, thank you to Andy. Let's finish up with Kenny, who is a Celtic fan in Giffnock. Kenny, what have you got for us?
Hi, panel. Really, my point is that, you know, about the Celtic manager for next season, and I think the man is staring us in the face. It's the man in situ, Martin O'Neill. I feel he saved the board not once but twice this season. He's also saved the team not once but twice. And he's a proven winner. I don't think age comes into this. I think there's still a glint in his eye. I think basically the directors should reward them with an extension of another year. And they owe him. I feel they owe him big time. And I think, you know, he always plays his cards close to his chest and he's self-deprecating. But I definitely think he could do something. He could do as well as anybody next season, given the chance.
I've seen people read into different things that Martin O'Neill has said, especially with the recent contract extensions to James Forrest and Liam Scales and Luke McCowan, where he is, I think especially when he talked about James Forrest in the lead up to it, saying, you know, I would want him here for another year, and people are saying, does that mean Martin O'Neill's staying? He then was speaking more recently about, you know, whoever takes over in the summer, that type of thing. Do you see any scenario that Martin O'Neill is the Celtic manager at the start of next season?
I think if Celtic win the double, the temptation will be there from all sides. But I don't detect from Martin O'Neill and what he's saying, and everybody can read into things, that he wants to stay for another year, and it is even in his head right now to stay for another year. Now, I think he should have some form of role at Celtic moving forward. I think Celtic miss that sort of buffer right now, and I think Martin O'Neill can be a unifying figure probably at Celtic, and I do think his experience and influence and everything there can help Celtic going forward. I would be really, really surprised, having both spoken to him and just everything, you know, the noise around potential other candidates, that if Martin O'Neill stayed on for another season.
You see it happening at all?
I certainly see him staying within some sort of role, the manager role, not for me, but I think Celtic would be crazy to let Martin O'Neill walk away from the club. I think he's got a huge part to play in the future over the next few years, and I think that would probably suit both parties, that David's mentioning that buffer in between. They need somebody in there. He's a real figurehead for the club. Again, I think he's got that presence. He can handle the media. He can still have conversations with whoever the manager is to come in, to allow them to grow into that role. But yeah, I think Celtic would be crazy to allow him to walk away from the club, but I certainly don't see him as manager next year.
Do you think that would be a good compromise, Kenny, if he's not going to be in the dugout, that he plays some sort of role at the club?
A compromise, yeah. I mean, I think he's got to be essential there next year in some role, but I would still say number one for the manager. I think, you know, a lot of things you talk about, modern tactics and things change. Well, you know, we brought in Wilfried Nancy. He was a modern thinker, and there was, you know, making a name for himself in America, and it was an absolute disaster. So I think if they actually invested in a team, you know, during the close season, and I think they have to, because You know, this isn't just the Green Brigade.
Sorry, Kenny, I think I'm going to have to cut you off there. I hadn't realised the time. We are so close to the end of the show, and we've got some answers to get on this teaser. Can you name the last eight managers nominated for the PFA Manager of the Year who have previously played for the club they have managed? When nominated, you have three to go.
We'll go for two for the price of one: Stuart Kettlewell and Stevie Ferguson.
Yes, both at Ross County, of course. They were co-managers. One more to get back to the 2016-17 season. He is a Clyde One Super Scoreboard pundit, and he was at Morton at the time.
Jim Duffy.
It is Jim Duffy. Thank you to David Friel and Cammy Bell. It is Callum Gallagher who's up next.